Good morning and welcome to this April 14th. It is Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you've joined me as we look at events going on in the Brotherhood and spend time in God's Word as we continue our ongoing study through the New Testament this year as we cover a chapter a day. And this morning, our focus will be on the sixth chapter of John, another power-packed chapter with much for us to glean from, so we look forward to that. But before we do that, we want to begin by noting some things that are on our bulletin board and events that are coming up. And one of those is the Focal Point Workshop. That is coming up April the 30th through May the 5th. Keeping our feet firmly planted by keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is a preacher's workshop, but there is something for everyone. This is in San Marcos, Texas, hosted by the University Church of Christ at 115 Country Estates Drive in San Marcos, Texas. There is no cost for this event. There is also some free housing provided by local church members on a first-come, first-served basis. The contact number is 512-353-2487, or visit the website, office at univcofc.com. I knew I would get that right here in a minute. This is going to be an amazing event. There are sessions of all types for elders, youth workers, preachers, something for everyone, women. This will kick off on Saturday. The Saturday afternoon session will be followed by a congregational singing and picnic, and the university church members hope that you will attend that and give them the opportunity to get to know you as well as you getting to know them and the various speakers that will be at the event. On Saturday, one of the sessions at 5 o'clock is If Not for the Cross with Speaker Clay Bond. And this will be followed by the singing and then the picnic at 6:15 p.m. On Sunday, some of the lessons include Big Faith for a Big Work, Bob Turner, at 9:30 a.m. In the worship hour, Into His Courts, The Power of Reverent Worship, Speaker Andy Baker. At noon, there will be youth activities. At 5 p.m., one of my dad's favorite sermons. This is a series in the event this year. The Sunday speaker for one of my dad's favorite sermons at 5 will be Daniel Cates. On Monday, one of my dad's favorite sermons will be delivered by Jeff Jenkins at 7:15 p.m. And, of course, this follows classes all through the day. And on Tuesday, there will be classes all through the day. And, again, one of my dad's favorite sermons at 7:15, the speaker will be Neil Pollard. On Wednesday, after the classes all through the day at 7:15, one of my dad's favorite sermons, Speaker Dan Winkler. What a great time this is going to be. This will run the last lecture will begin at 11:30 a.m. And so on Thursday, May the 5th. So this is going to be a great event, and we hope that you are making plans to attend, and that is coming up April 30th through May the 5th, the Focal Point Workshop at the University Church of Christ, located at 115 Country Estates Drive in San Marcos, Texas. 512-353-2487 or office at univcofc.com. You are invited to attend a gospel meeting at the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. The subject is New Testament Christianity in a Modern World. The speaker will be Brother Rick Brumback, director of the Southwest School of Bible Studies in Austin, Texas. You can call 903-561-9560 for more information. This gospel meeting will run April 24th through the 27th. Bible class will be at 9 a.m. Sunday, worship at 10 a.m. The Sunday evening service will be at 6, and then Monday through Wednesday evenings beginning at 7 p.m. That's the gospel meeting, New Testament Christianity in a Modern World, at the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. And again, that contact number is 903-561-9560 for more information. Coming up, May the 2nd through the 8th, excuse me, May 5th through the 8th is the 24th Annual Gulf Coast Lectures. Beginning on Sunday, there will be topics such as fellowship and evangelism, false views of fellowship, as they discuss Christian fellowship. Some of the speakers for this: we'll include Brett Moore, Brother Tommy Hicks, Keith Sellers, Don DeHerd, Curtis Richwood. Brother Michael Light will be speaking on Thursday the 5th at 6 p.m. What is the meaning of true Christian fellowship? Brother Steve Patterson will speak on Friday at 6 p.m., Fellowship Among Children of God. On Saturday, Brother Tom Wakehaster, Fellowship and the Doctrine of Christ. This is going to be a great event. Brother Clay Bond will speak at 4 p.m. Saturday on the ultimate disfellowship, hell. There will be a ladies' class at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Lessons for ladies concerning fellowship with Speaker Carly Bond. So great lessons, and that is going to run May 3rd through the 7th. And that is going to be a great event, the 24th Annual Gulf Coast Lectures. The Lovelady Church of Christ in Lovelady, Texas invites you to the Lovelady Lectures to be held April 22nd through the 24th with lessons and lyrics. This will begin with a fellowship and meal on Friday the 22nd. And then the lectureship will kick off on the Saturday the 23rd with singing at 12:30 p.m. At 1 p.m., Seek Ye First, Speaker Lyndall Mitchell. At 2 p.m., Under Thee, O Lord, Trent Kennedy. At 3 p.m., Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Dan Manuel. And following dinner on the grounds after that at 5:15, Creating Me a Clean Heart, O God, Mike Bonner. On Sunday the 24th, there will be congregational singing at 9:30, and then at 10 a.m., His Grace Reaches Me, Frederick Starks. At 11 a.m., Oh, I Want to See Him, Rick Popejoy. And following lunch on the grounds at 1:30, we'll conclude with an empty mansion, Jason Rollo, the speaker. For more information, contact the Lovelady Church of Christ in Lovelady, Texas at 936-661-5853. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas invites you to an area-wide gospel singing. This will take place on April the 22nd, beginning at 6:30. There will be snacks afterward, and all men who plan to lead songs and desire to are asked to phone ahead with your song selection to better help in organizing this event. For more information or to call in, please let us know at 903-537-4129. That is a Congregational singing on April 22nd, beginning at 6:30 p.m. at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And finally, on our bulletin board today, we have an event that begins tomorrow, April the 15th. This will be a great way to throw off the stress of tax day by attending the 30th annual Maybank Lectures. You are cordially invited to attend this series of lectures on the topic of Be Not Deceived. Friday evening, the events will begin at 6:30 p.m. registration, fellowship. There will be a singing beginning at 6:45, and at 7:20 p.m., Brother John McCormick from Atlanta, Texas, will speak on A Man is Deceived When He Thinks That Evil Company Will Not Corrupt Good Morals. There will be a pizza dinner for the youth at 8 p.m., and then things will pick up again Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. with Satan, the Deceiver of the Whole World, Speaker Alan Watkins of Decatur, Alabama. From 2 to 4 p.m., there is going to be an open forum where you ask the questions. The panelists will include Brother Kerry Clark of Athens, Texas, Brother Carl McCann from Fruitvale, Texas, and Brother Alan Watkins from Decatur, Alabama. There will be a dinner break, which will be on your own from 4 to 6 p.m. And then at 6 p.m., we will convene again with a period of singing. And then at 6:30 p.m., a man is deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, Speaker Larry DeLong. At 7:30 p.m., a man is deceived when he thinks that the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God, Brother Kerry Clark of Athens, Texas. On Sunday, at 9 a.m., don't be deceived into thinking that you cannot know the truth. Truth is truth, everywhere and in every place. Jim Gammon from Clovis, New Mexico. At 10 a.m., a man is deceived when he thinks he will not reap what he sows. Jason Rollo, College Station, Texas. After lunch, there will be free time in the afternoon, and then at 5 o'clock, singing will begin, and then at 5:30, a man is deceived if he is a hearer and not a doer, Brother David Wright of Segoville, Texas. At 6:30 p.m., a man is deceived if he says he has no sin, Brother Carl McCann. And then final remarks to conclude the 30th annual Maybank Lectureship at 7:15 p.m. That's on Sunday evening. A great event that's going to be. That's all that we have on our bulletin board this morning. Wait, I overlooked one. One more announcement, and that is another gospel meeting. It's going to be a Sunday through Thursday gospel meeting at the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas, running April 24 to 28, and the speaker will be Brother Michael Light of Bangs, Texas. And Brother Light is going to bring a series of lessons taking a closer look at the scheme of redemption. That'll be a great gospel meeting running the 24th through the 28th there in Colleyville, Texas. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to turn our Bibles to John chapter 6 as we consider those amazing events there, beginning with the feeding of the 5,000. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings for the Master. At this time, we'll turn our attention to God's Word this morning. The sixth chapter of John, and here we begin with the feeding of the 5,000. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." The feeding of the 5,000 men, plus the women and children that would have been present, is the only miracle that is recorded in all 4 of the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This great miracle truly confirmed Jesus as deity, and it was also confirmation that his message was from God. Now notice back in verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. So a great multitude is following Jesus. But many of that multitude are following him for all the wrong reasons. Their hearts have not been changed. They are only following Jesus to watch the show. Notice verse 3. "And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" Jesus here tested Philip to see if he would place his trust in Jesus to provide what was needed, or if he would try to rely upon himself, which would be impossible in this situation. Now, when we consider that the 5,000 was just the men only, when we add the women and the children, it would certainly not be a stretch to estimate this crowd at least 20,000. Jesus already knows what he is about to do. In verse 6, "But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus desired the disciples to strengthen their faith in him, and for them to acknowledge that there was no problem or situation that was too large for Jesus, or would they try to rely on their self to fix a problem in which they had no way of fixing? Philip responds to Jesus in the 7th verse, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Philip and Andrew both were completely missing the point. They should have simply turned to the Lord to fix the situation, to handle it. Jesus, in verse 10, said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So the people, they sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. With the 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He gave thanks to the Father and then distributed the bread and the fish. And so, to the 5,000 men and the unknown number of the women and the children, the disciples began to distribute out the food. And the 12 passed out the food that they could carry, and then they would come back and to Jesus and get more food and pass it out. The disciples kept passing out the food until the crowd had eaten themselves full. They had as much as they wanted. The crowd ate until they were fully satisfied. What a remarkable event, taken from 5 small loaves and 2 small fish to feed this multitude. But there's even much more to it than just that. The 13th verse, now we find out what takes place when they're through eating. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Did you notice how many baskets were left over? There were 12 baskets. There were 12 tribes, and there were 12 apostles. It was no accident that 12 baskets were left over. This was going to have a great impact upon the 12. And in verse 14, those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, truly, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus came to this earth to seek and save the lost, to save man from his sins. Anyone that comes to Jesus in sincerity and truth will be completely satisfied. Here again, we've seen an example of man thinking in physical terms rather than the spiritual. The apostles would eventually learn to do such, but so must we. We must develop a heart to trust the Lord in all things and to look to Him in every circumstance, whether good or bad. Not to rely upon self. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And so now, as we move forward, after this great event and the impact it made upon the apostles, the 12 should have greatly increased their trust and faith in Him to handle whatever situation. But in the next verses, as we see again the remarkable incident of our Savior walking upon the water, again we see that they just did not get it yet. Let's pick up in verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. Now, when the evening came, His disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But He said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Jesus retreats after the events of the feeding of the 5,000. Of course, He would have been physically fatigued. And so He seeks to get away from the crowd for a time. But His word has gotten out about the remarkable events. Many decide that they're going to take Him by force and set Him up as a king. Now, in verse 16, it said that when the evening came, the disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and headed towards Capernaum. It was already dark, and they were without the Lord here, for the Lord had stayed behind. And so Jesus' disciples, now as they are rowing across the Sea of Galilee, verse 18 says, "Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing." While they are crossing the sea, the going gets rough. A strong wind is blowing, a great wind. And according to verse 18, they're only about halfway across. It was about 6 to 7 miles to Capernaum across the sea. In verse 19, there it says, "So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid." The disciples, in the midst of the storm, see Jesus walking on the water and coming near the boat. Verse 19 said they were afraid. They are gripped with fear in their hearts. And Jesus mercifully attempts here to calm them with comforting words. In verse 20, "But He said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.'" He clears it up to them that it is Him, it is not a ghost, and that they had no need to fear. Verse 21 is the critical point of this story. It says, "Then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." So when the disciples here, they realized it was him, when they knew it was Jesus, the Messiah, they wanted him to get into the boat, and they gladly and willingly received him. The disciples wanted to be with Jesus as soon as they knew it was him. And that night, Jesus delivered his disciples from the storm. But it wasn't just that night, for Jesus has come to deliver his people from the storm even today. From the storms of life and the storm that is sin. When you put Jesus Christ on in baptism, then you have all that you need. When you put on Christ in baptism, you have deliverance. You have nothing to fear, for Jesus is everything that you need. And did you notice something else interesting here in verse 21? They did not row on across the sea. As soon as Jesus comes into their boat, they immediately arrive at their destination. Remember, they were only about halfway across. They were still several miles away from the shore. But it says immediately the boat was at land. Though in the middle of the sea, they immediately had arrived on the other side. Jesus had truly delivered his disciples. Think about the fact that Jesus is there for his disciples. And even though he seemed far away to the 12 out in that little boat, left on the other side of the sea, and to them, their situation seemed impossible. But yet, Jesus was there for his disciples, and he delivered them. And now he takes all of these events, and after coming to the other side the next day, Jesus enters into the great discourse over the rest of what we have of the rest of this chapter on the bread of life. We'll pick up in verse 22, and this discourse that Jesus is entering into now, as we said, is on the day following the feeding of the 5,000 and the sending of the 12 across the sea into the storm, and Jesus walking on the water to them, and Jesus calming the storm. Verse 22, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread, after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. The multitude gathered back at the sight of the miraculous feeding of the previous day. And even some boats had come from Tiberias. And since they could not find Jesus, they set out to find him, sailing for Capernaum. Oh, if more people today were desiring to find Jesus as hard as they did. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" It's almost like they're saying, "How did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus points out that the reason they were there was because of the physical miracle which they had witnessed. They had missed the real meaning of the food that Jesus offered. He offered what would fill man for eternity rather than what would fill the belly for a few hours and be gone. Jesus is the sent one and approved by the Father. Consider, on the day of Pentecost, as Peter preached to the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Verse 28 says, "Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Now, we mentioned a moment ago Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and we find that men responded to Peter's preaching in a similar way. As Jesus had declared the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord, notice in verse 37 the response of the men gathered there. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Jesus told the multitude in the 29th verse that they must believe in him whom God the Father had sent to them. To do the works of God is to be an obedient believer in the Son, to be one who loves him and keeps his commandments. For the Lord said in chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is doing the works of God. Now, and back to our text in verse 30. "Therefore, they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Recall that the manna of the Old Testament, like the fish that fed the 5,000, was a physical nourishment that would feed the body and fulfill the need of the body for a few hours. But Jesus is the bread of life, and the manna that Jesus offers can fill one for eternity. And so they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." Peter gained a similar understanding when Jesus washed his feet. In chapter 13, in verse 9, "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." In continuing now in verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We recall the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman when he asked of her for a drink of water. Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus is not going to cast away those who come to him. Those who will come and confess him, according to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus came to do the will of the one who sent him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the will of he who sent him, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And let's notice 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Again, we see the attitude of the Jews. Even though Jesus had been attested to them by signs and wonders, they would not believe. Verse 41, Then the Jews complained about him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? They always resisted the truth. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham, in that by his seed, that seed being Jesus, all nations would be blessed, according to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16. Those that have the bread of life are those that are in Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul told the Galatian brethren in chapter 3 and verse 27? For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. It is baptism that puts one into Christ. But the Jews, because of their carnal mindset, would mostly turn away because they refused to soften their hearts and respond to the teaching of Christ. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. A Christian is spiritually sustained by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And as Christians, on the first day of the week, in the Lord's Supper, we partake of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. Remember the words of the Lord as he instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And of course we know from Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 that every first day of the week the disciples came together for the breaking of the bread. But yet many disciples turned away from Jesus because of these teachings that we're seeing here in John 6. Notice verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And Jesus realized that there was offense here taken by the disciples. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man descend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Those who were weak and faint of heart would fall away. But what would the 12 do? Was what Jesus wanted to know. We are all well aware of the fact that when times get tough in the church, due to whatever the crisis may be, that those who are not strong and those who are not faithful will turn tail and run for cover every time. But the faithful are the ones who will be tested. And they are those that will have the strength and the ability to overcome by their faithfulness and the realization that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? But the response of Peter and the other apostles that we see here is that they now truly understood that Jesus was the Messiah and that he was indeed the bread of life and that he was the water of life and the only hope of salvation for man. And look at the great answer of Peter in verse 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter points out what should be the realization for all of us as Christian. What other answer is there? Who else can we go to? Jesus is the only answer and the only way. But as we close chapter 6, Jesus finally points out that even one of his beloved 12 was going to betray him. From this, I hope that each one of us understand that Satan will also use and gain a foothold in our lives sometimes through those we know and love in the faith. Sometimes even our closest friends, our family, will attempt to derail our fruitfulness. Jesus said in verse 70, Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. My friends, as we close today, I ask you, where do you stand today? Are you in Christ? Have you put on Christ in baptism? Or do you stand outside? And if you have put on Christ, are you truly partaking of the bread of life? And if your answer is no, to these questions. I guess the question for you is why? What are you waiting for? In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Again, if we can help you in any way, let us know at office@tgrn.org or call our toll-free number 844-FOR-TGRN. That's 844-FOR-TGRN, and that is toll-free. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you'll stay tuned for the programs through the rest of the day and tune in again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for another edition of Mornings for the Master. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks will be looking at John chapter 7. Until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.